Turn your attention to a passage in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. If you were to give a title to the sermon, I would say, be obedient to the heavenly vision. God has given us a vision, and we need to be obedient to the heavenly vision. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. I'm going with the New King James Version Bible. And let me read it from my Bible. It says, Paul is speaking here and says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Can we bow our heads for a moment? Father, in Jesus' name we come before you. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit may deal and speak to every person seated here. Lord, I pray it's not my word, it's your word, Lord. I pray that help me to speak properly the word that you want to pass on to everyone sitting here, that we may be obedient to the vision that you have given us. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The portion that I read to you is a farewell message that Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He's on his way to go to Jerusalem. And Paul, as in this passage, if you see, verse number 18 to 21, Paul is reviewing his past ministry. How God has called him out, how God has saved him, and how he has been moving forward with much tears and trials. But he has proclaimed, he has taught, he has testified of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by the gospel that God has given him. So he's speaking out there, and verse number 22 to 24, he's sharing his present concerns. He says that I'm going to Jerusalem. Now Paul knows very well that the moment he reaches Jerusalem, people are going to capture him. He's not going to be a free man anymore. His freedom is going to be over, because he's going to be captured, he's going to be put in a prison, and he's going to spend his rest of his life in a prison cell. He's never going to come out. But he says that none of these things are moving me, because I want to be obedient to the Lord and to the vision that God has given me. Amen. Amen. What was the desire of Paul? If you look at verse number 24, he wanted to finish his race with joy. You know, we are all in a race called the journey of life. We are journeying through life. We are going to hit a final destination. The end of our journey, we should be able to finish our journey with joy. That should be the ultimate goal. That one day we reach the end of our life, we look back and said, I have been faithful to my God. I have been obedient to the vision. I have done, God, what you told me to do. I have never kept back the things that you had me in my life. Many times we are wasting our time with frivolous matters, with things that don't pertain to eternal values. We are taking away most of our time, and one day we look back and we regret and say, Lord, I had so many opportunities and I have not been able to use it. So Paul's desire was to finish his race with joy, and he wanted to complete his ministry which he has received. What was the ministry that he received? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Paul was to be a testimony of the gospel of the grace of God. And what was his motivation? Paul had a motivation. You know what? Paul was actually trying to be a good Jew, and he was trying to capture the Christians, and he was so determined to put the Christians into prison. If you turn back to Acts chapter 9, he was on his way to Damascus to capture the Christians there, and on the way, before he reached the city of Damascus, he was hit by a heavenly vision. God gave him a vision. You see that Paul, suddenly a light shone upon Paul, and Paul heard the word of Jesus and said, Jesus said, Paul or Saul, why are you persecuting me? Whatever you are doing, you are going against me. It is very hard because you are not doing the right way. And so it says in that passage in chapter 9, it says that when Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, go to the city and you will be told what you must do. Amen. So we read that. turn with me to Acts chapter 26. And verse number 16 to 18, we see here the same thing Paul is speaking out, that what exactly happened to him. But then he says that in verse number 16, you rise, stand to your feet. I have appeared to you with a purpose. God gave a vision to Paul because God had a great purpose in his life. He said, I want to make you a minister and a witness of the things that you have seen and of the things that I am yet going to reveal to you. So God had a higher purpose. He had a vision. God gave him a vision, which was an extraordinary miracle. And then he said, I am going to be with you. You don't worry. I am going to deliver you from the Jews and the Gentiles. But then, this is what I want you to do. Look to verse number 18. He says, you have to go to them to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance that I want to give to each one of them. You know, Paul, this was a mandate of Paul. Paul had something that he had to do. He's got a heavenly vision. You know, when I think about that, as I was thinking about this passage, I was reminded of an Old Testament man of God by the name of Moses. You know, Moses also was exactly, if you look, you can compare Paul with Moses, because both started with a vision. God gave them both a vision. God appeared, Jesus appeared to Paul as a light. God appeared to Moses as a burning bush. Both of them, and God started speaking to them. You see, in the life of Moses, Moses saw a vision. But even before Moses saw the vision, Moses saw something which we don't normally think. Look to Exodus. If you turn your Bibles to Exodus. And chapter 2. Even before Moses saw the vision from God, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, Moses saw the burdens of the people of Israel as they were struggling in Egypt. Moses saw that. He was aware that the people were burdened in Egypt. And he saw that, and then God gave Moses a vision where he saw the mandate and the glory of God. Chapter 3, when it starts, it says about Moses seeing God speaking to him. The angel of God is actually, we see that is a figurative of the Lord who speaks to Moses. He's calling him Moses, Moses, just like Jesus called Saul, Saul. Two times, a very direct mandate that Moses received. Now let me make a statement here. Only the saint of God who can see the burden of the people can see what great things that God has in store for us.
Amen.
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 One day at the end of his life, God took Moses and he saw the promised land too. So Moses saw the burden of the people. Moses got the vision of God, and one day he saw the promised land, even though he could not enter into it. You know, I want to reveal to you very quickly, there are five parts of the mission, of the vision that God gave to Moses. Number one, in verse number 2, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2, he saw the vision of the love of God. You know, when Moses saw the vision, he saw the bush that was lighted up, but that was not burning. The bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. What does it mean? This was exactly how the children of Israel were in Egypt. They were being afflicted. They were in a crucible of suffering. But they were not consumed. But then God reached out to them. God did not allow them to be consumed in Egypt.
Amen.
In chapter 1 and verse number 12 it says, the more the Egyptian masters afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they grew.
Yes.
The grace of God was upon them. There was the love of God towards them. And God wanted something greater for this people. God did not want the children of Israel to be forever suffering under the clutches of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God wanted to deliver them, and that we see Moses saw the vision of the love of God.
Amen.
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 And then it says, When he saw that God, in verse number chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25, it says, God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant. God looked upon the Israelites and God acknowledged that they needed a way out. And so he used Moses there. That was the first part of the vision. The second what Moses saw was the holiness of God. When Moses came near, God said, remove the sandals from your feet. Because the place that you stand is a holy ground. He saw the God that he's going to serve is the holy God. Number three, he had the vision of the faithfulness of God. Chapter 3 and verse number 6. We read here that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, that he was their father.
Yes.
God remembered his covenant with the father, the forefathers of Moses and the children of Israel.
Yes.
And this was the vision of the faithfulness of God. Number four, the part of the vision was he saw the abundance of what God wanted to give to the people. Look at verse number 8. He said, I'm going to take you to a good and a large land. A land of plenty. Flowing with milk and honey. I don't want you to be suffering. I don't want you to be under bondage. I want to deliver you and take you to a wonderful place.
Yes.
That is flowing with milk and honey. The fifth part of the vision was, it was a vision of surrender to God. When you turn to the next chapter, chapter number 4. Exodus 4 and verse number 2-4. All that Moses had in his hand was a rod. That's all he had as a shepherd. God is asking Moses, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, you drop it down. Drop it what your hand. It was an act of surrender. When Moses decided to drop the rod into the ground, you know what happened? The ownership of the rod, it changed from Moses to God.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Because right after that, everywhere the rod was mentioned, it is never referred as the rod of Moses. It was referred to as the rod of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and praise God?
Amen.
It was a vision of surrender. It was the rod of God. And God said, Moses, you need to now take this rod. Because I want to use this to perform signs and miracles. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, take this rod with you. And we say in 8 different times, as you go through the passages, this rod was used in various times to swallow up the serpents, the water becoming blood, the frogs that came out of the river, the dust that became lice, the thunder, hail and fire, the locusts on the land of Egypt, the Red Sea being divided, and victory over Amalekites. All these times Moses used the rod of God.
Amen.
To do great miracles.
Yes, amen.
Let me just come to you and tell you this. The vision that God has given us, they also are of these 5 different parts. One is the vision of the love of God. You know, the great vision that God has given us is when Jesus is hanging on a cross.
Yes.
Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says the cross of Calvary is to demonstrate the love of God.
Yes.
When you look at the cross and Jesus hanging there and he's dying on us, it shows the love of God.
Yes.
And that is the vision that we need to have in our hearts.
Yes.
About the love of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God was pleased to hurt his son. Why? Because he loved us so much.
Yes.
John 3:16 says that none of us should perish. God gave his only begotten son into this world.
Yes.
Jesus was rejected both by man and God because God loved us enough to save us. He doesn't want us to be in the power of Satan and the clutches of Pharaoh, the god of this world, Satan. He wants to deliver us, and we need to see the vision of the love of God.
Amen.
Amen. Number 2, the vision of the holiness of God. You know what? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 says, without holiness, no one can see God. I don't know about many churches that are watering down the holiness of God, but God is a holy God, and we need to hold on to doctrinal purity and the personal purity in both sides. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go through the salvation, the baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and keep ourselves pure because we are the temple of God.
Yes, amen.
The vision of the faithfulness of God. God has been faithful to us. And we see the vision of the abundance of God. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and abundant life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When we are under the clutches of Satan, he steals, kills and destroys. But Jesus came to give us life and all his abundance. Finally, it's a vision of surrender. When you come to the Lord, you start with a surrender. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, repent and be baptized. Surrender your hearts to God. And then our daily walk is an act of surrender. We are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. And we are not living anymore. Our entire life is an act of surrender. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to be surrendered to do the plan of God. So let me come back and I'm going to close here. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 26. And I want to ask this question. Paul had this to say to King Agrippa. Chapter 26 verse number 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He had this to say, I was not disobedient. This was what motivated me. I saw the vision. I cannot but do the will of God. No matter, even if death is awaiting me, even if I have to go to prison, even if I have to be tortured, even if I have to be shipwrecked, I have to go through sufferings. But I am not going to turn away because I want to be obedient to the vision that God has given.
Amen.
This morning I want to challenge each one of you. You have received a vision from God. When you came to the Lord, you know what is happening. The people around you, they are in darkness. They are in bondage. God wants to use you to go to them.
Yes, amen.
And speak the gospel.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. You know the ending of Paul, what happened? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6 to 8, where it says that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. You know, Paul got everything that he desired. He finished his race with joy. He kept his faith. He fought the good fight of faith. He did everything that God wanted from him. And then Paul says in verse number 8, because I did, there is laid for me a crown of righteousness.
Amen.
That my Lord and Master is kept ready for me. The moment I reach to him, he's going to put on me that crown of righteousness.
Yes.
And he would say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have kept your part of whatever I wanted from you. This morning I want to challenge the church here. The great mandate that God has given to each of you. Go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Can you close your eyes for a moment? As I want the instrument, the ones who are playing the instruments to come forward. I want to close it and I want to challenge today. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to each one of you. I don't know what you are doing in your personal life and how much of time you are utilizing for God and for His kingdom. But let me tell you that time is very short. Jesus is going to come very soon. We have a mandate. God has given us a vision. The vision of a lost world. Vision of people who are headed for hell. They have no way out unless we go to them. So this morning I want to ask you, are you willing to be obedient to your heavenly vision? God has a great purpose for your life. It is not just to come on a Sunday morning, listen to a sermon and go back, but be fruitful for God every day of your life. It is to walk in the path that God has given you. This morning I want to ask you, are you willing to say, Lord, I thank you for dying for me on the cross. You have done everything that you could do possible. You left your heavens, the eternal abode, and you came down, became a servant. You came down and humbled yourself, even to the death on the cross of Calvary. You did everything for me, Lord. Now what can I do in return to you for what you have done? Lord, I want to lift up the cup of salvation. and declare the name of the Lord. I want to be a witness to my friends, my neighbors, my co-workers, the people I meet. I want to share with them the love of Christ. Share with them the wonderful gospel, which is the only route for them to go to heaven, Lord. Lord, give me a burden for the perishing people around me. Give me a burden, Lord, for the people who are lost and going to hell. And you have put me in a place that I can do my part. That's all you expect from me to do. Let me be obedient to my heavenly vision. Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning time. I thank you that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your people. I know this is your word because this is specifically what you told me to come and speak in this congregation this morning. I know that you have greater plans for this church, that you want to use as a beacon, as a lighthouse in this community to the people who are lost and dying. I want to pray for every brother and every sister seated here. Lord, use them. Use them, Lord, to touch other people with the love of Christ. If there is any one of you who have taken a decision today and going forward, this is not a salvation call. This is a call for a greater rededication of your life. I feel led to ask you, if you feel that you want to go to a next step closer to God, I want you to stand up on your feet right now. And I want to pray a prayer for you, a prayer of blessing. Can you stand up on your feet if you feel that you need to do more than what you have been doing so far? That you do need to do a step forward and be used by God in a greater way. I want to pray for you that God will give you the strength, that will give you the boldness, give you the courage, that you will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you lift up your hands to the Lord in surrender this morning and say, Lord, here am I. Send me, Lord. Send me to your people. Use me, Lord, that I may be able to. As the Lord told Isaiah, Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me, Lord. Hallelujah. He said, go and speak your word. Father, I want to pray for everyone standing here who has dedicated themselves to do greater things than what they have been doing so far. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit may give them the power and the boldness, Lord, that they may stand boldly and declare the great praises of God. We want to thank you for your love that you have shown to us, not only on the cross of Calvary, but every day in our life, even till this moment, Lord. Thank you for your abundant blessings. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has died for us. I pray a blessing over each and every one of them. Pray for this church. Pray for the man of God that you have given the mantle of leadership here. I pray that you use this church in a greater way, that they may be, Lord, be an instrument, a channel of blessing to people around. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.